Jesus' name. No matter what we're going through, what we're battling, prayer works. Prayer truly changes things. And that's our second thing we're going to talk about tonight. You know, we're doing a series called A New Season. Last week, we talked about what? Anybody remember? Yes. It's only one repentant last week. Good job, Gordon. Repentance. We talked about that last week. How that repentance is the first step in walking in victory in the Lord, that we turn to Him. Second step tonight we'll talk about is prayer. How important prayer is for us to walk in victory, and how prayer is not a lost art. That prayer is still very important to us as Christians. And we don't have to say a certain prayer or pray a certain way. We just need to pray. So next slide, Brandon. We're going to talk about prayer tonight. Prayer is the ammunition that keeps us grounded in the Lord. Think about that. When we start getting out there a little bit, if we look back, most time I bet we're not spending a lot of time in prayer. We're getting our minds off God. We're not spending time in His presence. We're not talking to Him. We're not communicating with Him. Before we know it, we're drifting out here somewhere. But what prayer does, it is ammunition. It's our weaponry. It's a foundation that keeps us grounded in God. Every man, every woman the Bible read about, all the testimonies, they talked to God, they called out to God, they prayed to God, they depended on God, they needed God. And I think it's important that we understand how important prayer is, and that how we should be operating that on a daily basis in our lives. Amen. Next slide. What is prayer? Simply this, really. Prayer is taking something to God by faith, believing He will answer it. Think about that. And it doesn't mean that the answer will be what you want. I've been praying for more hair on my head for 30 years. It ain't happened. That's okay. Sometimes an unanswered prayer is an answered prayer with God. And so don't get so hung up by praying for this specific thing, and this specific thing's not happened the way I want it to, but maybe God is doing a better thing that even though you're praying for that to happen, God's doing a better thing, and we miss it sometimes because we're only focused on it happening one way. And God can move in different ways. So prayer, absolutely, is just taking something to God and saying, Lord, I believe that You can answer what I'm bringing You, whatever that is, whether it's sickness, disease, salvation for someone we love, salvation for us, financial breakthrough, joy, peace, strength, whatever we need. I believe, God, I'll bring it to You, that You're able to fix it for me. Next slide. What does prayer do? Got 4 points we'll talk about tonight of what prayer does. There's many things, but I picked 4 points that cover a lot of ground. Number one thing that prayer does, it gives us direction. We need direction in our lives always. We go through different seasons, and we need direction on job, on relationships, on what we do for God. We just go through different seasons that we need sometimes direction. God, what do You want me to do next? I don't know where to go. I don't know where to step. I don't know what You want of me. And God, I just need You to answer me and point me in the right direction because I feel a little lost right now. We go through seasons like that, especially as we, you know, start getting Melanie's age, things start changing. And you start getting in a different season than you were before. And you're like, God, where do You want me now? I've done this, and I know You've got me going somewhere else. So show me, God, and teach me. Got a couple of verses I want to share about direction. This is found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a very familiar scripture to most of us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge Him, verse 6 says, and He shall direct your paths. Acknowledge Him. He'll show you what to do. Some of you right now are praying about things that you're torn and you're divided and you're split. And you're like, God, I got to know where You want me. And I've got to know that I know where You want me. And how do I get that? You trust in the Lord. You acknowledge Him. And He will show you where to go. And when He shows you, He gives you the peace as well to confirm what He has showed you. There's something about when we pray, what we're seeking is we're seeking solace of some sort. We're seeking solace. We're seeking It's like a big old, you want a big old hug wrapped around you that just holds you tight, gives you comfort. That's what prayer does. God's holding me. God's giving me comfort. When someone's praying for you and you know they're praying for you, it moves you. They're praying for me. They're lifting me up before God. They're lifting my need up before a holy God. They think I'm important enough that they're taking my name to God's throne. There's something powerful about that. And the more we talk to God, guess what? The more we know God. The more we know God, the more we love God. The more we love God, the more we believe God. Just like the song we sing, the more I seek you, the more I want you. The more I want you, the more I love you. Because we get to know who God is. How can we know who? See, I can't go off the God my mom told me about or my dad told me about. I've got to know God for myself. I've got to have a relationship with my God. I know he was good to my mama. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. He healed her body, touched her mind, every step right in time. Glory, hallelujah. That's great. But what has God done for me? I need to know God for myself. I need to have that relationship. And a key component to a relationship with God is prayer. Because not only do we talk to God, but guess what happens when we talk to God? Guess what happens? And he does what? Talks back. He listens to us, and then he talks back. As we go to him, he will speak to us. Pastor, how does God speak to us? That was in the old days, and that was special moments, and that was special times. God speaks to us all the time in all kinds of ways. Man, God could speak to us by seeing an animal in our yard. God can speak to us by a song on the radio coming on. God can speak to us by a phone call from someone. God can speak to us by just an inner voice that we hear. God can speak to us by a thought that's formed in our mind. God can speak to us in all kinds of ways if we just open our eyes and see him and open our ears to hear him. And that's talking to God. I mean, I know my wife, I'm sure, more than any other individual in the world because that's who I spend my time with. I've spent 27 birthdays with her now. I was thinking about this. When I shared Melanie's first birthday, she was 1 year older than Ashley. That puts it in context. That hit me today. I'm like, we's getting old. Yeah, but I've made it way up, baby, since then. Well, we were still kind of together, technically. I know, thank you. I'm sorry about that. I repent, okay? But I think about how I've spent that Melanie was only 1 year older than my daughter back there when we started dating. And here we are 27 years later, and I know her more than anybody. And you know how I know Melanie? We spend time together. We talk. We fellowship. I listen to her most times. And she listens to me sometimes. And we communicate, and we talk. And I know her desires, and I know her interest, and I know what she hates. And I know all of her OCD moments. I know that she washes her hands 72 times per day. I know that a bee can kill her if it stings her in her upper extremities. I know that a mouse is absolutely her worst nightmare and worst enemy ever. I know that she loves sunflowers. I know that she loves me. I know that I'm the best sliced bread she's ever had in her life. I know her. I know my wife. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. She likes Sound of Music. She likes Gone with the Wind. She likes Frank Sinatra. She does not like heavy metal. I know what my wife likes. She likes the song, I am 17 going on 18. Da-na-na. She likes that. She loves Kenny Rogers. I know that about her. But she does not like many country singers. But she likes Kenny Rogers and she likes Dolly Parton. I know my wife. I know her likes. I know her pet peeves. I know she hates me to drive because she fusses at my driving. I know her pet peeves. She doesn't like to be smothered. She doesn't like to be all on top of it. She'd like to have airflow. I know her. Could we tell about God? Could we name all those things we know about our Heavenly Father in that kind of detail? The way we know that is we talk to him. And we communicate with him. And we hear him. He speaks to our hearts, his desires. Pastor, I don't know what God wants of me. Talk to him. Take it to him in prayer. And then wait on that prayer to return. Wait on that man. As the old saying, cast your bread on the water. and wait for it to return. When you're fishing sometimes, you don't always catch that fish in the first 5 minutes. It may be 5 hours, whatever it is, but you wait and you wait and you wait, and eventually something takes that bait. So when we pray, we wait and we wait and we wait. Because God is not answering right now doesn't mean God is not going to answer. It does not mean God doesn't have a plan already ready. It does not mean God hasn't already got it figured out. It just means it's not the right time, not the right season, not the right place, whatever. But trust Him that He will bring it to pass. Next scripture, talking about direction. Look at this, Psalms 143:8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way where I should walk. Here was David's cry. God, show me how to live. Show me your direction. I want to follow God, work the plan you have for me. I want to follow your steps, not my own. Cause me to hear you, God. Cause me to hear you, that I will know where to go. Sometimes we go out doing our own thing, and that's why we fail, because we never take it to God. We do it our way because we think it's a brainstorm of an idea. We do it our way instead of letting God do the work. There are many times that we try to beat Jesus into people's lives, and we wonder why they don't receive it. Just let the Lord do what He does best. We sow the seed. You know, go back to fishermen. Y'all don't, I mean, maybe Chuck does. He's a rugged man. But most of us don't go in the lake and just start yanking out fish by our hands. Come here, you rascal. Fish is dead. We fish with a rod and bait, and we have to wait till the bait is taken. We as Christians, we throw out the bait. The bait is the love we show them, the compassion, the mercy, all of that that we just show them. We point them to who Jesus is and what Jesus can do, but we can't make nobody get saved. The Bible's clear on that. I've been in church service where the preacher had somebody so slopped up with oil and speaking in tongues for so long, trying to make them get saved. You can't do that. The Bible says no man can come to me unless the preacher draw them. Are y'all hearing me? No man can come to me unless the keyboardist and her jamming music draw me. No, it doesn't say that. No man can come to me unless the Spirit draws them. So many times we're trying to beat things into people instead of just letting God do what He does best. And this is where prayer comes in. We hear the saying, right? Just pray for them, right? Just pray for them. We have situations, all we can do is pray for. You know, people, y'all text me and call me, please pray, please pray. That's all we can do sometimes. We can't fix it, but we can pray. And what that means is I'm taking this to God, and I'm trusting Him and believing Him. He's able to fix what I'm putting in his hands. God, you can fix it. You can change it. You can reverse it. You can heal it. Whatever situation is, God, you can do it. I can't. Direction is one of the things that we should be praying for as Christians every day. It's important. Next slide, number two. Oh, I lift my soul to thee. Number two. Prayer gives us peace. How many times have we been tormented by the devil? His thoughts that come into our minds. We're tormented. Fear attacks us. We're worried about what if this don't happen? What if this don't get fixed? What if I die and don't get healed? What if I lose the house? What if I lose this job? What if, you know, my wife, I lose my kids? All the fear that comes against us because we live in a world of challenges and battles. But prayer gives us peace. That somehow when I get done talking to God, like the old saying, right? Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear us when we cry. He will be, you know, all that. I'm doing two different people in case y'all didn't know that. I'm doing a duet. So have a little talk with Jesus. It does make things a lot better. It may not fix everything overnight. I'm not saying you're still going to have some heaviness, but at least as you talk to the Lord and you pray, all of a sudden, as you pray, peace that shouldn't be there appears. Peace that shouldn't be there because guess what? Your storm's still there. and your circumstance is still there, and the giant's still standing there, but you can have peace that the giant will fall, the sea will calm, and God will move. Here's some verses about that. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. How many times do we let the devil just take our thoughts and run with them? All the what ifs. And we've heard this before. Most of the what ifs never happen. What if I get diagnosed with cancer? What if my child dies? What if my wife leaves? What if? What if? And the devil puts all these what ifs, and most time the what ifs don't even come to pass. Which president said, Doc will know because he's older, which president said, there is nothing to fear but fear itself? Who said that, Mom? Roosevelt. Whatever, Doc, whatever. President Roosevelt, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Think how really spiritually sound that is. Nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear blows itself up. Fear magnifies itself. Fear appears to be bigger than what it really is. You know the old saying, little dogs don't know they're little. That's what I've always heard. Do y'all know that? I've always heard that. That little chihuahua doesn't know it's little. So it acts like a big dog. It barks. It growls. It don't know it's not a Great Dane. That's how we should be. Fearless. That giant or that problem or that battle is not bigger than God. But we let fear take a situation and magnify it and blow it up. And I said this Monday night that magnifying God means to enlarge. But we magnify the problem. We don't magnify God. We magnify the what ifs, not the who is. Oh, that's good. Think about that. We magnify the what ifs, not the who is. If we start magnifying the who is, he is the what? The great I am. He is I am. He is whatever we need him to be in whatever season we're in and whatever situation we're in, period. He gives us that perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him because we trusteth in you. It's hard to walk in fear if our mind's on God. It's hard not to have peace if our mind is on God. God, you are peace. You came to give me peace. You said in your word, peace I leave with you. So I can have peace even in a tribulated world right now. I don't know the future. You know, I think about Shannon and Brian here, this little baby, and they're a young family in this world and trying to live their lives. And, you know, one day you'll be like me and Melanie. You'll look back, you're like, man, I remember, man, when I was 21 years old. Here I am now, 45 years old. And I don't know what the next 20 years holds for y'all's lives, but God does. And God knows what that baby's life is going to be in 20 years because God's got his hand on that baby. And you can have peace, Shannon and Brian, that this child will be under the care of God. And you can pray over that child and you can speak that to that child. Lord, watch over my little boy all of his days. And he can give you peace that he's going to be okay. When he goes to school and he has bad influences and, you know, we fear, will my child go down the wrong road? Will he get with the wrong friends? Will he end up, you know, in a wrong place? And all of that's the enemy. But when we pray and give it to God, he can give us that peace to say, you know what? I'm not worried because God is bigger than those bad friends and God's bigger than those wrong places and God's bigger than that dark influence. God's bigger and I trust my child with God more than I do what the devil can do with them. I trust God more. And then we get peace to say, you know what, God? He's yours and I trust it. But our mind's got to be on God, not on the enemy. Next verse, talking about peace. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He wants to know what our desires are. And when we do this, look what verse 7 says. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. How can I? You know, we have people in this church that battle anxiety, panic attacks, depression, discouragement. How can I have peace in those moments? You take your need before God, and you make it known what you need. God hears my desire. And then somehow he pours upon you a peace that all of a sudden the depression and the fear and the loneliness and all the things ever you're battling, all those things, all of a sudden they kind of evaporate under the hand of God, because he takes that out and pours upon you a peace that it's going to be okay. I remember when Melon's grandmother passed away 7, 8 years ago now. 10, wow, gosh. I know Melon was very worried about how she'd respond in that moment she lost her opal. She told me up front, look, I don't know how I'll be when I lose her. I might lose it. I'm telling you, I'm giving you a warning. I don't know how I'll respond. And I was worried for Melon because of her love and just her attachment to her grandmother. But it really is amazing what happened in Melon's life. And she's told us before. Her grandmother passed away 10 years ago, 82 years old. And it was a very special person in her life. And Melanie mourned, and she wept, and she cried like normal. But you know what? She's told us how God gave her a peace that she shouldn't have had. I remember looking back at the time, I remember looking at her thinking, she's doing okay. She's really coping okay, and she's all right. And she says, I know God helped me through that in my life. God gave her a peace that passeth her own understanding. I should be losing it right now, but I'm actually halfway together. How's that possible? Because God brought peace. And you shared that about Steve as well, I think, that same thing along those lines. How that, yes, times of mourning, still times of mourning, I know that. But how God somehow gave you a strength and a peace that maybe you didn't expect or maybe even surprised you, but somehow here I am moving forward and I'm functioning and I'm okay most days. Okay. Maybe not great, but you know what? I'm okay. And God's helping me. Prayer is what does this. Take everything the Bible says in that verse before. Take it to God and make it known what you need. And then he will do this. It's beautiful. Next slide. Number three, the point I want to cover tonight, what prayer does, it gives us strength. Man, prayer gives us strength to keep going. When I got done preaching Monday night, if you see, yeah, a couple of y'all, yeah, three of y'all were there. Oh, you're there, four of y'all, I'm sorry. One, two, three, yeah, four of y'all. I'm sorry. Y'all were there. I don't know if you noticed, when I got done preaching, I sat back down in the chair and both the ministers came and laid hands on me and was praying for me. Did y'all notice that? What they were doing is they were praying that God would fill me back up because I'd given so much out. And said, Lord, fill him. Give him strength. And fill him back up. What a powerful prayer that was. And to know that my strength comes from God. It does not come from man. That God can strengthen us in times that we are so weak. Paul said that at one place. He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Because he recognized once I emptied out who I was and truly let God be who he was, all of a sudden I was stronger than I ever been before. I thought I was strong on my own. I'm an independent man, independent woman. You know, I don't ask nobody for nothing. I'm independent and I don't ask for no help. I don't want no charity. I do it my way. Da, 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 blah. Come on, y'all. I'm telling you, I am too. And I feel like I'm independent. But I understand that when it comes to God, I want him to use whatever he needs to get my needs met. If it means someone comes and picks me up and has to carry me for a little bit, thank you, Jesus, that you're carrying me until my strength comes back. Strength is something we need in our Christian walk, because the devil is always trying to make us weak. Because when we fail and when we sin, we get discouraged, we want to give up. We want to think, I can't do this, because every time I take 3 steps forward, I get knocked back 2 steps. And you need strength to keep going and keep going and keep going. Strength is what keeps us pressing through. There's going to be storms all around. Like right now, a storm, you know, has come through here. But guess what? It ain't staying. It's gone. I don't hear no more thunder in the last 30 minutes. It's gone. The storm came, and it rumbled, and it shook the building, and then it went. That's what, as Christians, strength does for us. It gets us through those moments. It doesn't make those moments go away, but it gets us through those times that we can stand in the face of the adversary against us and say, you may not go away right now, but I'm going to cross over. You're going to get out of my way. I'm going to keep on going. I'm not turning back. I'm heading straight forward, and I will get to where God has told me to go. Strength in the Lord. That's what it gives us. Some verses on this about strength. Isaiah 33:2. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for you. Be thou their arm every morning. Be the arm every morning. Our salvation also in the time of trouble. Be our arm, Lord. Be our strength, Lord. Every morning I need you. Every morning you're my salvation. Every day, God, I can't do a thing without you. And I've got to have you. When I wake up in the mornings, throughout my day, when I lay down at night, I can't go one step without you. I can't speak one word without you, God. I need you to strengthen me to get through what I'm going to face today, because I don't know what's coming my way. I don't know what phone call I'll get. I don't know what somebody's going to say. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know, God, by your power and by your might, I can be strong. His arm holds us up. Next verse. Isaiah 40:20. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth our strength. Think about that. Remember Popeye, the old cartoon Popeye? You kind of look like Popeye, Doc. That white t-shirt back there in your muscles. Popeye, remember when old Blue Toe would start beating on him and stuff and he couldn't win a battle? He'd go grab a can of spinach. And he'd always play that music, that little rhyme, you know. He'd open that can of spinach and he'd chew it. And the cartoon, you see his stuff starts popping out everywhere, chest, arms, legs. And he'd go beat the living tar out of Blue Toe. I eats me spinach. He used to be a little jingle, he'd say. Oh, I'm strong to the finish because I eats me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Yes, that's it. Thank you. Prayer is our spinach that gives us strength. That when we are so weak and we need to pick me up, we go to God in prayer and say, Lord, empower me, as this verse says. I'm faint. And God, increase my strength, because I have no might right now. And I don't even want to get out of bed today. I don't want to face today. But somehow, when we pray to God, something happens. Something supernatural happens. His presence, who already lives inside of us as children of God, it comes alive. It's like a fuse that's been touched. And all of a sudden, we pray for that. We feel God empowering us to rise up again one more day and face that day with all that we have. Not because of us, but because God gave it to us. We have strength through Him. That's something prayer does. It gives us direction, and it gives us peace, and it gives us strength. And then the next point I want to make, prayer gives us hope. We need hope, Chuck, don't we, brother? We need hope. We need hope for something better than this. We need hope that tomorrow is going to be better than yesterday. We need hope that our kids are going to be all right. We need hope that our spouse is going to be all right. We need hope that our jobs aren't going to go out of business. We need hope that things stay in order in our lives. We need hope that we don't fall away. We need hope. This is what prayer does, because as we pray, God begins to fill us with who He is, and that is hope. I am your hope. I am your life. Look at the verses on this. And the reason I picked three verses on this, I believe, because I just love this out of Lamentations. And plus, I just love to say the word Lamentations. And plus, we never get to read out of Lamentations. I thought it was cool. So Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 24. I'm really deep tonight, aren't I? I just love that. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. He's my portion. What it really is saying is He's what I need. He's all that I need. So my hope's in Him. He is what I need. My hope is not in my circumstance. My hope is not in my abilities. My hope is not in what I can do. My hope is in the One that can do it. My hope is in the mighty God, the King of all days, the Creator of all things. That's who my hope is in. And think about this. Is I preach this Monday night, nothing's impossible. I mean, is there really anything impossible with God? There's not. We limit God. We put limitations on God of what he can do and how he can move. But there, if our hope's in him, then that means that nothing's impossible. No matter how it looks, no matter how dark the night or how bleak the situation, God, if my hope's in you, there's hope that it's going to be all right. There's hope it can change. There's hope I won't always be where I'm at today. There's hope that my addiction can fall away. There's hope that my sickness can be healed. There's hope that my mind can be restored. There's hope that my family can be reunited. There's hope, God. There's hope that my future is secure because of the price you paid at Calvary. There's hope. Hope's a beautiful thing. Hope is something we all desire. Hope is something. How many times hear people say, I hope I make it to 80 years old. I hope I get to see my kids graduate. You know, I hope I get that job. I hope I get that house. I hope we can go on vacation. I hope the preacher does a good job tonight. whatever we hope for. I bet Doc's like, man, I'm in town one time this year. He better hit it on tonight. A lot of pressure tonight. I seen Doc back here. I kind of had a gulp. Got to be on tonight once a year. Look at the next verse. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. It is written. Here's what we have hope for. I love this verse. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. And me and Mom are talking about this morning a little bit, Mom. I thought about you with this verse, actually, when you talked what you said about there's something greater out there than we can even imagine. Look at this verse. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, we've not seen or heard or felt anything close to what God has waiting on us. That's my hope. My hope is to shed this old flesh, to shed this old body, to shed this carnal nature, to shed the sin man, to shed all the thoughts, to shed all the limitations, to shed all the inhibitors, and take on what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, immortality. That I shall take on immortality, and that death is swallowed up in victory, and that victory is in Christ Jesus. So I hope for this. God, I believe what you say. You got something better for me than this. The mountains are beautiful. The beaches are beautiful. Florida's okay. It is too hot, brother. I'm glad I'm back here. Oh, man, I was miserable down there. I mean, it's great, but man, it was hot. There's more beauty than we could ever see waiting on us. And God prepares something for us that we can't even comprehend on this side. And I believe in that, and I'm hoping for that. And I'm going to tell you something. Hope's not just some grasp of a dream. Hope's not just something that we're just hope that they were hoping is there. Hope is a confident expectation. There's a big difference. I am confidently expecting Gail Finch to walk into the kingdom of God. I'm confident. I'm expecting that. I'm not hoping in the sense that, man, I really hope it happens. I believe it's going to happen. I believe there'll be a day I'll see my Lord face to face. I believe there'll be a day that I will be completely restored in my new body. I believe there'll be a day that death will no longer have any power over what God has placed here. I believe there'll be an eternal kingdom that'll rule and reign forevermore with no more sin, no more darkness, no more sorrow, no more fear, no more temptations, nothing. Perfect health, perfect mind, perfect life, perfect way, perfect God, perfect creation, restored again. That's what I believe, and I'm waiting and I expect it. It's not some kind of ghost thing. It's a real thing that I believe. And that is Christians, as we pray, guess what? That fires up our hope to hang on to there's something more than this world. Because I know some people can't give the world up for God. They can't give it up for God. They can't give their lifestyle and their riches and their fame and whatever it is because they can't give that up in order to get what I'm talking about here. But I'm glad I've got this waiting on me. This is far better than anything in this world the devil could ever offer me. All the riches or all the fame or all the stuff or all the pleasures. Because we know that most pleasures usually end up bad. Let's be honest. Most pleasures end up bad. Even something as simple as going to a big old buffet and eating. It's great at the moment, but you pay for it the next 8 hours. You pay for it. Pleasures, indulging in our pleasures, normally don't work out great, but this is worth the cost. Sacrifice here to get this. That's where my hope's at. My hope's not in this world. It's in this. Next verse. Titus 1:2. Little book of Titus. I don't read out of that book very much either. In hope of what? Eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I've got the hope, the expectation of eternal life waiting on me. People ask me this sometimes, the preacher, they'll say, because see, remember, we're one-dimensional right now. All we can think about is what we know. We see this world. We measure time by a clock. We measure by days and months and years. We measure by age of our lives. I mean, you hear somebody, oh, they died at 75. Oh, that's a pretty good life. We measure everything by that. People say, what are we doing forever in heaven? I mean, really? Won't we get, ask us after this. Won't we get bored? I mean, what are we going to do forever? I mean, what could there be that there's no end? And I don't have the answer to that other than this. That world, that place, is not like this place. It's totally different. We won't be measuring time anymore. We won't be measuring days and months and years anymore. I don't know what it'll be like, but I know it will be a continuous celebration. It'll be a party that'll never end. With no hangovers, no ODs, no police call, no popo, no more nights, no more sorrow, no more regrets. It'll be forever. And I'm okay with that. Because to be forever with God's got to be good. Whatever that means. It's got to be good. The Bible gives us in Revelation some things about they'll be singing and they'll be eating. Y'all like to eat? They'll be eating. What it says. Probably do what? That's right. Nothing. We won't even be aware or knowledge of time. So be encouraged. Eternal life's a pretty good thing, and I'm looking forward to that. Next verse. I want to close out with this verse. This kind of just captures what we talked about tonight. Matthew 7:7. This is Jesus talking. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. All this is really, this is prayer. We're talking about prayer in this verse. Ask, you shall be given you. Seek, you shall find it. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh. Look at that. I mean, that's Jesus talking. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, you're going to find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The power of prayer as a Christian. Pray. Don't forsake our prayer life as Christians. I know we get busy. Things in our lives happen. We have TV. We have our computers. We have our iPhones. We have our families. We have our kids. We have events we go to. We have obligations. We got to mow the yard. We got to wash the dishes. Got to feed the dog. Got to take our shower. Got to do all these things that we, our routine of day that we do. But don't forsake the power of praying. And it doesn't have to be a ritual prayer. It doesn't have to be all, oh, thou, O holy one in heaven, how art great thou, holy all without name. Just talk to him. When you wake up, God, I love you. And I'm thankful you woke me up. And God, I pray for my family today. And I pray for strength today and peace and direction, power. Lord, let me be a light. Let me be a witness, God. I pray the people in my lives, their needs are met today. I pray you protect me and watch over me, God, and order my steps. We talk to God. We communicate to him. That's how we know him. You can't know somebody unless you talk to them. Marty, come on up here and play a little something. I want to do something tonight as to kind of exercise what we talked about before we close tonight. I want Marty to play something. And before we close this service tonight, I want us all, if you would, if you're able to to just come up here, stand up here at the front, and let's just close out praying together tonight in service. Just praying. I know many of you have your own needs. Maybe you won't have needs for other people you want to pray for. And I want us to pray together tonight. Whatever you're carrying, whatever you need God to answer in your life, take it to Him. Prayer is believing that God can fix what you bring before Him. So if you'll join me up here, let's just do that tonight as a church. I know not a whole lot of us here tonight, but let's just come together and let's just spend a little bit of time just praying together. Father, as we're gathered at this altar today, we all have needs, we all have battles. And God, you know every one of them, you know every heart. You know every battle, every giant that's in the way. You know every need that needs to be met. Lord, we want to talk to you tonight just for a minute at this altar. And say, Lord, we love you. We celebrate you. We worship you and we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you, God, you woke us up this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we're alive. We thank you, Lord, we can walk and hear and see and raise our hands and take steps. We're thankful we can see and smell and taste. We're thankful, God, that our heart is beating. We're thankful we have a home over our head, a car to drive. We're thankful for our families, our spouses and our children, our moms and our dads. We're thankful, Lord. We're thankful for our jobs. We're thankful that our bills are paid. We're thankful, God, for what you've given us. We're so thankful. We praise you for that. And God, I know in this place there are desires in our hearts. There are things that we need you to move on in our lives. We need some direction. We need some peace. We need some strength. We need some hope. We need some healing. Whatever it is, we need some deliverance. We need you to talk to us, God. As we stand here together, we just ask, God, that you speak to our hearts tonight. You speak to our lives. You speak to our minds. That you pour out your peace. You pour out your strength. You pour out your mercy and your love. You pour out your power. Let us leave this sanctuary knowing we have been with you tonight. We have talked to you, our Heavenly Father, and you have heard our cry. We thank you, Lord, and we love you and give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Before we close this, y'all just take a minute to pray for whatever's on your heart right now as you stand here. Just talk to Him for a minute. Go ahead and sing something, Margie. Talk to God right now what you need tonight. Thank you. praise you. We thank you that we can carry everything to you tonight. And we leave it in your hands, Lord. Wherever we are battling, we leave it in your hands, believing you can fix it. Pour your spirit and pour your peace and pour your presence upon us tonight, God. That we walk out of here knowing we've been with the King and that everything is going to be all right. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll just close out here if you want to. If you have an offer tonight, you can put it in the offering plate. Lord, we pray that you watch over us, keep us, we go our separate ways. Watch over us on the road to get home tonight, and we thank you and we praise you, God, that we have this power of prayer to keep us grounded in you every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.